Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Steven Steigman. The Kansas City Symphony is in the midst of its Young Artist Competition. The competition, open to Kansas and Missouri residents between the ages of 13 and 18, will reward nearly $2,000 in prize money and the opportunity to perform with the Kansas City Symphony in Helzberg Hall. Last week, student musicians took part in a preliminary round conducted behind a screen, and this weekend, finalists will compete in a final round in front of a live audience. Joining us now is Stephanie Brimhall, the Kansas City Symphony's education manager. Stephanie, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us in the studio are three musicians who will compete this weekend. Caleb Thill is an 18-year-old violinist from Kansas City, Missouri. Caleb, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you.
Emily, pronounce your last name for me. Emily
Shehi,
thank you, is 14 and she's a violinist. She's a student at Olathe East High School. And Ruby Dibble, I hope I got that right because that's the easiest of them all, is a 17-year-old. Are you a mezzo or a coloratura? How would you?
Right now, I would say I have a mezzo range, but
okay.
I don't really know.
We'll call you a mezzo-soprano from Kansas City, Missouri. She's a student at St. Teresa's Academy. Congratulations to all of you for making it to this final round. I can personally attest to the skill and concentration you all possess to make it this far. Stephanie, tell us why the Symphony is hosting this competition.
Well, it's a competition that's existed in various forms over the years. This year's edition of a final round is something that's new and exciting. And really, the addition of it primarily is to provide the experience to these kids of actually performing on stage in Helzberg Hall. It'll be just a tremendous opportunity for them.
Well, like many arts organizations in Kansas City, and certainly like other orchestras around the country, the Kansas City Symphony is heavily involved in music education. Why?
I think it's a question that I always get.
Here it is again.
I think if you break it down, the most basic explanation is that we all need music. It's a human thing. We all need music. It's just something that's a necessity.
Well, what's the current state of instrumental and vocal music instruction at public schools in the Kansas City area?
I think everybody's feeling it. Everybody's feeling there are budget cuts sadly, it's one of the first things to go, and I think our mission with the symphony here is to make sure that students get to experience orchestral music.
I mean, every year the symphony hosts thousands of students in Helzberg Hall for concerts, for daytime concerts, and no doubt it's an audience development tool, but there's much more here, isn't there?
Definitely. It's our education series primarily is for elementary students, and we make an effort every year to draw some kind of curricular connection to core subjects. So this year's theme is reading and music. So we'll be able to kind of make those connections. And, you know, studies show that students who learn music do better in school.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the competition. Who are the judges?
We will have a committee of Kansas City Symphony musicians, our music director, Michael Stern, and we're bringing in a piano faculty member from UMKC to represent the piano side of things.
Okay, good. Now, the first round is done behind a screen, just like a professional audition. Tell us why.
I think the preliminary round being behind a screen really lets the committee listen strictly to the music. So they don't know anything about the performer other than what they're playing. They don't know their age. They don't know their gender, except for the case of Ruby. I think they can probably tell. So it's strictly about the music.
Right. And will this weekend's competition be like a professional audition? I mean, after the students perform and a winner is chosen, what's going to happen at that point?
So the students will perform back-to-back. The committee will then go backstage and they'll deliberate and will come back right after. So it'll be a brief intermission. They'll come out on stage and they will announce the winners right then.
By the way, that wait could only be 5 minutes, but it'll seem like an eternity, no doubt. But the symphonies, the committee aren't the only ones to award a prize. Do I understand that correctly?
That is true. This is a brand new thing we're trying this year. We've, in addition to the three prizes the committee will award, we'll also be selecting an audience favorite. So I've encouraged these guys here to make sure they invite their friends, stack the deck a little bit.
Can you vote online? Can you text?
You may not. So you do have to be present to vote. It will be a paper ballot. And just like we'll be awarding the three judges' prizes, we'll also be awarding the audience favorite prize on site that day. So it will be an additional $250.
Wow, cool. Very cool. Now, the musicians this Saturday won't receive accompaniment from an 80-piece orchestra. They're going to have, if they're not pianists already, they're going to have a traditional piano accompaniment. How is that different? I mean, I know this is the case, but that's a little bit different from playing with an orchestra. Can you judge a soloist as well? Can judge a solo as well with the piano as they can with an orchestra?
I think it's certainly different, but I think also, you know, you have to think of the feasibility of it. To perform with an 80-piece orchestra really isn't going to happen mm-hmm. in a competition setting. But I think one of the things that the committee will be listening for is the ability for these musicians to collaborate with another musician. And I think having piano accompaniment, they'll definitely be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Caleb, you're a violinist, and you're homeschooled. Have you performed with an orchestra before?
I have not performed with an orchestra before, no.
And does this, I mean, let's pretend for a moment that you win. I'm not saying he's going to, folks. I'm not stacking the decks here. What would that be like to be able to perform with not just any orchestra, not a high school orchestra, but you got the Kansas City Symphony?
Yeah, I feel like it would be a great opportunity, and it would be an awesome for me to just experience that.
Now, Emily, you're 14 years old.
Yes.
You're kind of on the early end of things here. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of time left in high school. Mm-hmm. Have you performed with an orchestra before?
Yes.
Oh,
I
my
have.
Gosh. Tell us who did you perform with and what was the repertoire?
When I was 8, I went to an audition for the Kansas City Symphony, and they wouldn't let me into one of the higher groups, but the judge, Dr. Tony Brandolino, he invited me to play with the Liberty Symphony Orchestra mm-hmm. playing Vivaldi's Spring.
Wow. And how was that?
It was amazing. I don't know. I just remember being terribly nervous, but it was a great experience.
Well, have your teachers inspired? I assume you all take individual private instruction in addition to any instruction you may have at school already. But have your teachers inspired you to and pushed you to audition? Or is it something from within you? Ruby, tell me.
Yeah, I would definitely say my teachers have inspired me. I have worked with two really great private instructors starting when I was 11, mm-hmm. and when I was about 14, I started with my new one, and I've just learned so much from them, and they're just so inspiring for me to just grow as a singer.
Mm-hmm. And what would it be like if I guess... Your voice is your instrument, so and I know you perform at the piano all the time. What are your aspirations? Do you hope to be up there on the stage performing with an opera someday?
Yes, actually, when people ask me, what do you want to do with your life? I usually say, well, I want to be an opera singer. I want to be on stage because it's just equally that you get to sing the way that I love to sing, like classically, but it's also acting as well, which I love to mm-hmm. do. So that'd be great.
How old were you when you first discovered you had a talent for singing?
Well, I don't know.
And don't tell me it was like last year or something.
I don't know if this is true, but my parents said that they like discovered me harmonizing to a Buena Vista Social Club LP when I was about 3. But I actually started singing in public when I was about 10. So, but my parents had put me in choirs when I was younger, and it just always been something that I absolutely just loved to do.
Now, you're at St. Teresa's. Have you graduated? You're graduating this year?
Yes.
Congratulations. What's next for you? Are you applying to different music schools?
Yes. Actually, I already auditioned Oberlin Conservatory, uh-huh. and I was accepted on early admission, and that's my number one school, and I just love it there so much. But I'm also, next weekend, I'm auditioning at Boston Conservatory, New England Conservatory, BU, and then my newest news is that I just got an audition at Curtis Institute of Music, which is amazing.
Yeah, that is. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You've got quite a few to choose from there.
Thank you.
It's Caleb. What's next for you?
I'm kind of undecided right now. I have auditions for Peabody and Oberlin Conservatory mm-hmm. Coming up in the next few weeks. But right now I'm kind of not sure if music is where I want to be.
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I face that same thing in even in college. Do you... there will be a time that you'll face yourself and you'll say, do I really want to practice for 4 or 5 hours every day? And is this... There are lots of violinists, there are lots of singers, there are lots of pianists out there. How do I make myself different and how do I compete among all of those? Mm-hmm. Does that cross your mind?
It does. I've also recently thought of the ability to go to Berklee and study contemporary music and kind of bridge the gap between maybe classical and contemporary music and kind of make myself different in that way.
What else besides music interests you?
I like business a lot. I have managed a company last year for a time.
And you're like an arts administration wannabe, you know? Stephanie's looking at me like,
yes.
Yes, do it.
Do it.
Yeah, so I mean, music is a part of me. I can't imagine my life without music, whether that is where I'll be professionally. It's kind of undecided at this point.
We have recordings of the pieces that you three are performing this week, and they are not you performing. I should make that very clear. But Caleb, I'd like to play what you're playing, the Brook Violin Concerto in G minor. Tell us about this piece and why you chose it.
This piece is just one of my favorite violin concertos. It's so powerful. I just feel like alive when I play it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people play it, and I try to go deeper in the music and try to study why it's so beautiful and try to add my personal touch to it.
Let's listen to a little bit of this right now. Caleb, it's an emotional piece. It shows off. It's a virtuoso piece. It's really a beautiful piece. It's a difficult piece. What's the most difficult part of this piece for you?
I think, like I said, it's making it different. It's so overplayed.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to add my personal touch to it and really make it stand out in a way that isn't something that other people do all the time.
Emily, let's turn to you. Mm-hmm. You chose Prokofiev Concerto No. 1. Mm-hmm. How long have you been playing this piece?
I started playing this in October, November-ish, so I've had it for a couple months.
Mm-hmm. And what have you found to be the most difficult part of the piece?
Probably the most difficult is the opening. It starts off really dreamy, and it's very surreal, kind of. It has a very floating quality, and... It's different. It's hard to get the right character, the right color coming through, all with vibrato. And
mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to a little bit of it and see if we can hear what you're describing. Now, if you can do that, I think you've got something going here, Emily. Ruby, let's move on to what you're performing this weekend, which is a pretty popular opera, Mozart, The Marriage of Figaro. What are you singing from? Which aria are you singing?
I'm singing Voi che sapete.
And why did you choose that?
Well, it was assigned to me over the summer, and it's definitely an overdone mezzo aria. But I chose it to sing for this because it's just... such a fun song because it's actually a pants roll character, so I'm a boy when I'm singing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a song that you really have to do justice with the character, but also you have to be very careful with how you sing it. Like, it's very easy to kind of make it very short and choppy, but it has to be very flowy and longer phrases. So it's definitely, it was a difficult piece for me to learn, but I just love it, and I just love performing it for people because it's so fun.
Well, let's hear a version of this piece. It's a great audition piece, and all of these pieces, I'm guessing, can double as auditions at music schools and elsewhere, right? This is kind of standard repertoire for. Mm-hmm. But no matter how many times you've played them, when you're going to get up there on the stage this weekend, I'm not trying to make you nervous. You're going to be nervous. How do you deal? How do each of you deal with that, especially being in front of a crowd of potentially 1,600 people? Ruby?
I'm trying to think. I really like that feeling right before you go on stage.
Wow.
Just sort of the adrenaline rush. It's just, but it only lasts for a few seconds. Like, as soon as I start singing, I just go into this like tunnel vision, and I'm just sort of transported into this different place, because I just get so focused on the music. But right before, I know I just get kind of jittery, but I like it. I mean, it's sort of just that feeling like before you jump off of something. It's just that adrenaline rush that sort of pushes you over the edge.
How about you, Emily?
I have different types of nerves, I guess. Sometimes mm-hmm. I don't get nervous at all before performance. Sometimes I get a little sleepy before performance. But most times I just get really anxious, dry mouth right before I go on stage.
Uh-huh, yeah,
but,
I've been there.
My nerves usually go away a few minutes after I start playing, and I can really focus on the music.
And how about you, Caleb? How are you a nervous guy?
It just depends. I get an adrenaline rush right before I get on stage, and usually I get on stage, I start playing, and it goes away. I try to feel like I'm just playing by myself and just close my eyes and just focus on the music.
Wow. Good luck to all of you this weekend. You're up against three other talented musicians as well. You know, everybody, your parents will say this, you all deserve to win. You're all winners for getting this far, but it's really impressive, and good luck at the competition this weekend. Our guests today were Caleb Thill, Emily Shehi, I'll never get your name correctly, but I hope you'll come back when you're really famous, and then I'll know your name really well. And Ruby Dibble, you'll all come back. Stephanie Brimhall is Education Manager for the Kansas City Symphony. You can find our Central Standard Archives podcast and a lot more at kcur.org. Tune in tomorrow for a conversation about the science of consequences. Up to Date is next with a look at the changing role of American servicewomen and a new installment of 90 Mile View. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton. I'm Stephen Steigman, and this is Central Standard.